You can think of it really like this. Because we reverse engineer the path to purchase and identify all of these different patterns that actually led consumers to competitors, we actually know who are these consumers and what type of consumers these are, and what were the motivations that led these consumers to go into the funnel and take those actions.
Welcome to AI for Business Growth, the podcast from pioneering artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all business people, from startup entrepreneurs right through to Fortune 500 companies. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech to help you and your business to navigate through and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow businesses.
Today's show is about how to know why consumers end up buying from your competitors and what you need to do about it to change that using artificial intelligence. It's really tough being a marketer today. You make a load of decisions about your target customers. You're looking at the segments, the content, the channels. But then your perfect customer buys from your competitors and you don't know what you've done wrong and why. And this is even more challenging today, despite the fact we have so much data. Our hands are tied with GDPR, CCPA, third-party cookies, and you've still got the usual challenges of budget constraints and being required to deliver stronger KPIs year upon year. My guest today is Danielle Michaeli, who is co-founder of Connecto with a K, which is an AI-powered platform that actually solves some of these challenges by giving full visibility to why customers purchase from you and why they've purchased from your competitor. And not only insight into why, but it will give you recommendations on exactly what you need to do to change that to become the preferred choice. Danielle has a very interesting background. She actually started with an engineering degree, but then went into the Israeli intelligence corps, which is unusual. So many other things as well. So I'm so excited to have you on the show, Danielle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Could you tell us a little more about your background? Because it is fascinating. And how that led you to found Connecto?
Definitely. I'm happy to give you more information about that. So if we think of my background, it's essentially divided into two main pillars beyond the points that you mentioned, which is starting off in the Israeli intelligence force and then getting my degree in industrial engineering from Tel Aviv University. And when we're looking at those two pillars, I started my career really in the world of consulting. And one of the things that I noticed is that while companies are spending huge budgets and many resources in trying to answer the million-dollar questions of how do we increase sales, they still didn't get a very clear answer on what they need to do to start moving the needle within weeks, which in today's, as we know, highly competitive market is required by leaders across all the different sectors.
Yeah.
The second pillar of my career is actually in the high tech and startup space, where one of the things that I noticed is multiple brands, and when I say multiples, I'm talking about hundreds of brands, failing in their go-to-market strategy and execution. Mm-hmm. Because one of the challenges is that brands are stacked with multiple different monitoring platforms, which give them directional insights, and it requires them to analyze and to try to understand what should they actually be doing about the data. But they aren't able to properly execute on these because it requires their interpretation of what does this data mean and what do I actually need to do about it.
Yeah.
And so both of these challenges really brought to the place of why are we building Connecto and what is this used for? A, to help teams with their most important challenge, which is increasing conversions and reducing the cost of acquisition, and doing so by actually telling them what is the next best action instead of requiring them to have to guess what that is.
Yeah. So that comes down to the customer journey, really. And so in the old world, the way people determined the customer journey was really doing market research, creating customer personas, then identifying motivations and pain and working through where they went and what happened from that whole awareness to purchase journey. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a lot of assumptions in that old approach. And it seems that your platform really takes that guesswork away and the assumptions out of it and actually looks at real world, real life digital data from the potential customers and analyzes that entire digital footprint. So could you tell us a bit more about the platform and, you know, how it does that?
Definitely. So the way to think of it and kind of bringing it down to simple terms is that we understand at any given time what statistically led consumers to purchase from your competitors. How this works is that we get input from our clients regarding the products or services that they're looking to increase sales around, as well as the conversion types to capture, because beyond the conversion of sales, there's multiple other conversion types that teams are looking to increase as part of their KPIs. We then take that input and put it into our journey detection model, which is a proprietary model that we've developed with our data science team in-house. And what this model actually does is it scores every one of the different interactions that took place prior to when that purchase happened, based on the contribution to that end conversion. Now, once we have that mapping and that scoring, we then aggregate the journeys and the meaningful interactions to be able to map the brand's biggest vulnerability points that they have against their competitors at all of the different stages of the journey, taking into account trigger points with a high score that led to the competitors. That could be a specific YouTube video, a specific piece of content, a search term, an affiliate website, essentially anything within the pie of the digital marketing space. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to provide brands with the best next action to increase conversions and reduce the cost of acquisition, we provide all of the different teams with daily actionable recommendations around go-to-market strategy, audiences, marketing activation, to be able to help them understand not only where are they losing, but what they actually need to do about it.
Yeah. So are you saying that Connecto can actually provide insights from the earliest stages of the customer journey before you even know they could become customers?
Definitely that's what I'm saying. You can think of it really like this. Because we reverse engineer the path to purchase and identify all of these different patterns that actually led consumers to competitors, we actually know who are these consumers and what type of consumers these are and what were the motivations that led these consumers to go into the funnel and take those actions, allowing us to map the path to purchase, not only from that very first interaction as part of the awareness phase, but actually pre-awareness per each one of the different segments that we look at.
So it's not just social media then, it's what kind of digital properties do you include in that?
Yes, definitely. So it's way, way beyond just social media. It's essentially the entire digital footprint of consumers. If we're looking at browser activity, mobile, social media within that, and many more. And essentially, this data set is the same data set as many other marketing platforms out there, where the main difference is the way we analyze this data. A, based on conversion events and a bottom-up analysis of those path-to-purchase drivers, and aggregating those to uncover the statistically significant opportunities out there.
Interesting. So would you say that the old-fashioned approach to customer journey is no longer relevant?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that, because it can still be relevant for certain aspects. When a brand wants to deep dive into, let's call it, the personal why behind specific things. Mm-hmm. But what is important to keep in mind that the old approach is based on what consumers remember that they did, their biased opinions because we're having conversations with them, as opposed to tracking their actual online behavior without their ability to influence it. And this can be done at scale. And it allows companies to have a live heartbeat on the consumer behavior, as opposed to one-off analyses that brands will have and then rely on that for many years, while that behavior is not necessarily still relevant. So I would say they can combine between the two, but it's very important to understand what benefits the old approach provides as opposed to data-driven new approaches out there in the market.
Interesting. So from what I understand, you first uncover the behavioral patterns that took place early in that journey, that the what they're searching for, what places they went to, you know, where they drop out of the journey, and then translate that into recommendations. So, you know, for digital marketing. So how do you determine the recommendations?
So it's actually pretty cool. If you think of it, since we know exactly how different audiences are buying from the competitors and the trigger points that have the highest score, we know which actions across each one of the stages of the journey will drive the most impact, while actually taking into account the client's strategy, their budgets, speed to action within each channel, to be able to customize the recommendations to align with all of those different criteria and speak the language of how the brand is actually executing against opportunities today.
Wow. How easy is it for the clients to actually act on the recommendations?
That's a very, very good question. And I think one of the things that I like the most is to see how clients react to the recommendations themselves and how they start working with it. Because if you think of it, up until now, you really have to understand that they're used to these monitoring platforms that require them to query different things, to analyze, to hypothesize, and at the end of the day, hope for the best when they're deciding about the best next action.
Yeah.
And what they experience when they're using our platform is almost an effortless decision-making process where each recommendation contains, why should I actually care about this, in a very short and precise way? And what exactly do I need to do in order to go and execute on this once I understood why is this relevant and interesting for me?
That's very, very fascinating. So what about influencers? Could you uncover that as well, who the influencers are?
Yeah. So I know influencers is actually a topic that comes up a lot, and rightfully so, because understanding which influencers got the highest score from a conversion for a specific segment is critical, given the fact that influencer reviews have such a huge impact on the decision-making process of consumers. Yeah. And so this is definitely a type of recommendation that we bring forward, focusing specifically on social media channels. So looking at YouTube, Reddit, other social media channels to understand which are the most impactful influencers per a specific segment within that realm of the product type. And also, what are the main enablers or topics that that influencer should bring forward in their discussion to really be able to answer the biggest questions consumers have as they're going through the funnel.
So essentially, Connecto solves the challenge for digital marketers of knowing what touch points to put what content in and when. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's correct. But we're actually doing much more than that, because we're solving the challenge of how to efficiently drive sales growth, which is a huge issue out there in the market today, as budgets are being cut and companies are expected to meet higher KPIs with lower budgets. And so we provide about 20 plus different types of recommendations. And these can range from content and ads on the one aspect, but also providing recommendations around audience, paid social, website optimization, and more.
And what elements of digital marketing do you think it helps with the most?
So I would say the most important ones, which is increasing conversions and reducing the cost of acquisition.
I assume it could lead into a lot more than that. So go-to-market strategy, M&A opportunities, new product launches. What about those kind of things, you know, applications beyond digital marketing?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It definitely covers additional applications if we're looking, as you mentioned, to go-to-market strategy, M&A opportunities, new product launches, as well as when a product is already in the market and you're purely looking to increase your market share and meet your sales goals.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I can share with you is a lot of companies that we work with beyond the digital marketing teams, the customer acquisition and growth teams, also bring in their consumer insights teams because of our ability to actually track the entire digital footprint of consumers and conduct very, very deep segmentation analysis, which really informs those teams on personalized content and creative messaging, go-to-market strategies, and many more.
Out of the companies that you have as clients, do they use your platform in the same way, all of them?
Yeah, so they use it in the same way. And the way that they use the platform is our platform actually notifies the different teams when a new recommendation got generated. And this allows them to quickly enter and access the platform, see the relevant recommendation and what is behind it, assign it to the relevant team member, whether that's in-house or an external agency that they're working with, execute on the recommendation and very easily measure the ROI, which can be seen within weeks.
Could you perhaps, just to put some flesh on it for the listeners, outline a specific case study of, you know, what was going on before, then they used the platform, what the results that they gained from doing that were?
Definitely. So I think this is actually a super interesting question, because at the end of the day, we all care about the results. And one of the examples that I wanted to bring forward for our listeners today is around one of our Fortune 500 companies in the financial service space, who are really trying to do the same as almost any other company out there, increase sales for their product that's already in the market. And essentially, they wanted to identify lucrative audiences that they're not tapping into today. And in order to help solve this or bring value forward, we reverse engineered the path to purchase around their specific product and started surfacing audiences that statistically have a higher purchase probability, and then started on top of these audiences providing dozens of recommendations across different marketing channels throughout the entire year in order for the company to be able to meet these audiences in the right places with the right content and messaging at the lowest investment. And what this actually resulted in is a savings in millions of dollars in their marketing budget, being able to meet the sales goals that they needed to meet.
Wow, that's really cool. Is there any type of business you think it wouldn't work as well for?
So whoever would say that their solution is good for all businesses, I think that there's a little bit of a gap in that. So definitely happy to share kind of where our focus areas are these days. Mm-hmm. And if we're thinking of it, we're really focused on high involvement products. So these can be areas like financial services, insurance, consumer electronics, baby products, devices, if we're looking at diabetes devices, for example. The area that we don't cover as much today, and we do plan to go in there in the future, is more of the low involvement products. So for example, a consumer that is going online to buy a granola bar. Not a lot of research goes into that. It's more of an in-store purchase decision. And those are areas that are not part of our focus these days.
What about, do all of those businesses have to have a sale online for you to know the end point?
So they don't necessarily have to have a sale online, but they have to have a conversion online. So what that means is that they can either sell from their direct-to-consumer website, they can sell from marketplaces, because we also have visibility into what consumers are purchasing on Amazon, eBay, Target, and many other sources. Alternatively, they can have other types of conversions. If we're thinking of the automotive world, which is a very high involvement space,
sure.
Most of the conversion types there are booking a test drive, making an appointment at a dealership. And that's where the client will define to us the conversions that they're being measured on. And we input those into the system. So not purely sales.
That's really interesting, because I was thinking about devices, because a lot of devices aren't actually purchased online, you know, medical devices. So it is interesting to see that you can still track and influence, even if that final end purchase isn't on their website, for example.
100%. And wow. I think that as more consumer research is going online in recent years, even for brands that aren't selling the end product online, there are many, many touch points that they need to see happen in order to better predict that offline sale is going to happen. And that's where increasing those conversions as touch points along the way can help with those predictions to get them to a better place when they're needing to meet their end of year sales goals at the end of the day.
It's very cool the way that you can integrate that digital with that real world sale that may not be a digital sale. I think that's really impressive. And when you work with a client brand, do you need their data as well as your own collected data?
So I think that this is one of the things that our clients find the most mind-blowing, is that there's no integrations that are required. Okay. So we don't need any of the brand data. There's no integrations. It's very simple. Within a week, the dashboard is set up. They get a username. They get a password from which they start getting the recommendations through the system.
Wow, that is impressive. And so from the time someone comes to engage with you to actually seeing recommendations, what time period would that be?
So within a week, they start seeing recommendations. And within a few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, they already start seeing the ROI.
And no integrations?
No integrations at all.
That's incredible. Is it a subscription platform?
It is a subscription platform for a yearly or a multi-year license.
Okay. Wow. Really, really fascinating. I find what you guys are doing amazing. How long did it take actually from when you founded the company to delivering the product to the market?
So as any, I would say, startup company, there's some pivots that happen in the early days to really be able to understand the best product market fit. Mm-hmm. This product that we've launched into the market, we launched about 3 years ago, already started from the beginning, working with Fortune 500 companies all the way to smaller companies that are direct to consumer born and raised. And essentially now, really, after our funding round of $21 million, expanding the product and the R&D team, expanding our go-to-market team, because we're seeing a lot of demand for the product out there, and being able to go in and provide this to multiple different clients at scale.
Congratulations on your latest funding round. That's impressive, too. It's really everything you the whole product is very impressive. So what you're doing is putting marketers in a very strong competitive advantage, essentially. So, sorry.
Yes, and I would say that if, and I'm sure that you also know this, but when I speak to marketers, one of the things that keeps them up at night is really not knowing how they're going to get to the goals that they need to get to, but B, are they wasting money, or is the money that they're spending going in the right direction? And having that amount of responsibility from both of the different realms really does require solutions, let's say, to step up their game and arm these marketers with what they need to be able at the end of the day to sleep better at night and be able to, you know what they're doing, where they're spending their money, and what is going to be the ROI of that.
Yeah. Wow. Really, really interesting. So if any listeners are wanting this, which I think a lot would be, you can go to Connecto, Connecto.com, and find out more and reach out to the team there and see what you can get, the results you can get for your brand. Thank you so much for your time today, Danielle. It was fascinating. Really, really, really impressive.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Business Growth with Dr. Andre Bates. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your business, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating wherever you download your podcasts. For more information on the subjects covered in this episode, links mentioned during the conversation, or to connect with Dr. Andre, click the link in the show notes now. Plus, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.